Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this and every week. It's hard to believe that we are already starting October. The beginning of the fourth quarter is upon us, believe it or not. We are here. And so the data this week gets us through three quarters of 2023 that are now in the books with this week's data. That's important to note. We have three quarters of the year through. That's as though we are starting the seventh inning of the year, to use a baseball analogy. So that is where we are as we turn the page and start thinking about the next few weeks and months ahead. Hopefully, I've gotten a chance to see most of you over the last few weeks, whether it was at Railway Interchange, whether it was at the Northeast Association of Rail Shippers, whether it was at the Southwest Association of Rail Shippers, whether it was at the FTR Conference. Hopefully, we've been able to see each other in passing at industry events over the last couple of weeks. Hopefully, if you see us out and about, you will come up, say hi, talk about what you're seeing in the marketplace and what you're seeing in the podcast, what you're seeing in the economy. We love to get up and talk about transportation, the economy, and what it means for your business and hear what's going on in your business and see if that jives with the data or not. So with that out of the way, let's jump in. Let's talk about this week. Let's talk about what we are, what we're seeing in the data. Well, intermodal volumes have maintained their bounce. After Labor Day, they've gotten a little bit of a bounce from where they were running over the summer. Maybe ever the slice, if you want to characterize it as a muted peak season response, you could do that. But on an absolute basis, certainly volumes are not peaking. They are below their five-year average. They are still well below last year. It's still a weak result for the intermodal market, but it is a little bit better than what we saw over the summer. That much is true. On the carload side of the business, carload volumes continue to march higher, this week led by economically sensitive freight. Now, that's a good thing. As you've heard me say many, many times, it's the economically sensitive freight commodities that are going to drive volume growth over time, that are going to drive volume growth not just in 2023, but in 2024, 2025, and beyond. And so that is good to see. That's good for carriers, that's good for shippers, that's good for rail equipment manufacturers, that's good for everybody in the rail supply chain, that is what is driving carload volumes higher and higher. So let's jump in, though. Let's talk about intermodal, and you can see that we are trending sort of slowly up over the last few weeks out of the Labor Day holiday. That being said, we're still below last year, and we're still well off the five-year average. So yes, we're showing a little bit of strength. Yes, we are stronger than we have been for the entire year. Yes, we are stronger than we were over the summer. But on a historical basis, compared to what we typically see this time of year, we are still 25,000 carloads below that level. So it is better than it has been in 2023. That's still not great when you think about the overall intermodal markets. Trailer volumes up a little bit this week on a sequential basis. Not really much at all. Again, a little bit higher than we were running before the Labor Day holiday, but certainly not back to where we were running before the yellow bankruptcy. So sort of a glass half full, glass half empty look at the trailer market, depending on how far back you want to go. We continue to be down 20% on a year-over-year basis. We continue to be 30% down relative to the five-year average. The trailer market continues to, on an overall basis, struggle. In the container markets, you would expect this to look a lot like the overall intermodal market, because it is 90% of the overall intermodal market. And we are basically in line with 2022 levels. That's okay, but that's certainly not good relative to history. We're still below the five-year average, well off the five-year average, in fact, compared to what we would consider normal historical behavior. So yes, we're seeing some improvement. Yes, it's better than it has been. That's still not a great result in the intermodal space. Switching gears, talking about the carload market. Carload volumes continue to move up. The last couple of weeks coming out of the Labor Day holiday weekend have really been good for the carload market. We moved to our highest levels of 2023. We moved basically in line with our five-year average, up about 3%, almost 4% on a year-over-year basis. Overall carload performing well. Overall carload outperforming GDP, outperforming industrial production over the last few weeks. Carload volumes really being a bright spot. So what's driving that? Well, I sort of gave it away in the open. It's economically sensitive freight. And economically sensitive freight continues to hold at and near its 2023 high that it hit just last week. And so we continue to run very, very strongly above last year, above the five-year average, in economically sensitive freight. This is good. Why is this good? Because these are the commodities that are going to drive carload growth, not just in 2023, but in 2024, 2025, and beyond. These are the sectors, the metals, the lumber, the automotive. These are the chemicals. These are the things that are going to drive carload growth over the balance of the decade. It is imperative that this commodity group continue to perform well as we go forward in time. This will determine if the railroads are able to take market share back from truck. This will determine how those volumes get sorted out, not just this year, next year, and beyond. But you can't talk about the carload market and not talk about what's going on in the bulk businesses. Coal remains the largest carload sector by volume. It has been fairly flat for much of the last, really, 2.5 months. It continues to be flat. That's up a little bit on a year-over-year basis. Still below the five-year average. And importantly, no third-quarter peak. No third-quarter peak at all. And this despite the fact that Texas, which is a big Powder River Basin coal-burning area, had some of its hottest August and Septembers on record, meaning that there was abundant electricity demand, every unit going as hard as it could. We still haven't seen demand to restock those inventories. So coal basically flat, but that says that there's going to be further downside as we go forward in time. If even a very warm summer in Texas, a record-setting summer in Texas, is not enough to generate additional demand in the marketplace. Looking at grain, it moved up sequentially fairly strongly in line with seasonal harvest expectations. We are at that point in the year when the harvest comes in and we see that bump in volumes. The question will be, how significant is that bump? You can see we started below the five-year average. We started below last year's levels. We remain below the five-year average and below last year's levels. So we're increasing seasonally, but we're not showing signs of a bumper crop. We're not showing signs of taking share from the inland waterways, which many of you know, the lower Mississippi River dealing with, again, low water conditions, as we saw last year. That continues to be a thing in terms of moving grain by barge. But we have not seen in the rail numbers any significant volumes coming over or any evidence of significant volumes coming over from barge to rail. So keep that in mind as we go through the harvest season. Keep your eye on it to see how high this number goes in the weeks ahead. Shifting gears, coming back into economically sensitive freight categories, chemical volumes took a little bit of a step down sequentially, not much, not nearly as significant as we saw 2 weeks ago, but still at a relatively strong level. Still above 45,000 carloads a week, still above last year, still above the five-year average, continuing to run fairly well as we go through the end of the year. Now, a reminder, the year-over-year comparisons are going to look better, even if absolute volume levels do not change. The fourth quarter of 2022 was very weak for the chemical sector. And so those year-over-year comparisons, they look a lot better, but that's really a function of the comparison period, even if absolute volumes don't move a whole lot over the last 13 weeks of the year. Petroleum products loadings, a subset of chemicals, and we bounced up sequentially. We've been floating around the five-year average for some time now, and that continues to remain where we are. We don't really have a catalyst like many carload freight categories. We don't have a catalyst to move this number higher in a meaningful way. We just sort of continue to run right around just above 20,000 carloads a week. Stone, sand, and gravel. This is a good news story for those of you keeping tabs on the carload markets. It was a volume leader through the first two quarters of the year, certainly through the last couple quarters of last year as well. It drove volume growth, and we were starting to get concerned about some weakness here. The third quarter was not as good as we would have hoped, we would have expected, but coming out of the Labor Day holiday, we have really surged back. We're back to 30,000 carloads a week. We're back well above last year, well above the five-year average. We're pushing toward that highest level of 2023. This is a good sign. This is that construction activity, construction investment in infrastructure continues to be strong. That is a good sign. That is what we expect to see happen. That is what we expect to have continue, not just in the fourth quarter, but into 2024 as well. Lumber and wood, the other piece of the construction industry, if you want to think about it that way, if you've got crushed stone that really is aggregate demand, infrastructure demand, you've got lumber and wood that reflects housing, reflects residential construction. This is a sector that has struggled for much of the year. Not surprising if you look at the overall economic environment, you look at what mortgage rates have done, the housing market. It should not surprise you then that we have lumber continuing to run down 6 and 7% on a year-over-year basis, closer to 10% relative to the five-year average. And there's no real end in sight for lumber and wood's volumes declines until we see a turn in the housing market. And that's far into the future, particularly with the Federal Reserve talking about wanting to raise interest rates or possibly needing to raise interest rates another time before the end of the year. That would only add further pressure to mortgage rates. That would only further add pressure to the housing market and extend the time by which the housing market and by extension the lumber market recover from those body blows. The other major sector of forest products, pulp and paper, it's been flat over the last month. You can take it as a glass half full, glass half empty perspective. Certainly flat is better than it has been over the course of much of 2023 in the pulp and paper space. This is a sector that has really been under pressure and struggling a lot over the last really five quarters or so. We've had struggles in this sector. Those are not going away. Those are still there. Much like the chemical sector, you have easy comparisons in this group for the most of the fourth quarter. And so even if volumes continue to remain flat on a year-over-year basis, it will look a lot better because of that weak comparison period. We continue to be at historically low levels. We continue to be well off the five-year average. And we don't see any economic fundamentals that support a change in pulp and paper as we go forward. But finishing with automotive, we've taken a step down sequentially. We're still above 25,000 carloads a week. But what we're seeing this week is we're seeing the first week of data that really reflects the impact of the United Auto Workers strike against the big three American manufacturers. We're starting to see that flow through the numbers. Now, time will tell. As it expands, as it gets to more facilities, if they get a resolution, what does a ramp up look like? And we're going to start to get some information, some data, about what exactly that's going to mean for rail loadings of finished vehicles and parts as we go forward over the next few weeks. We're still relatively strong in automotive. We're still above last year. We're still above the five-year average. Of course, it bears in repeating that the strike only affects big three automotive facilities, and not even all of the big three automotive facilities at this point. We have a lot of non-union foreign labels with manufacturing in the South that are not affected by the UAW strike. So when you think about automotive going down the way it did during the pandemic to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 carloads a week, we don't expect to see that happen. We're not going to see that kind of a dramatic dip. We're not going to see that kind of a dramatic decline. But we are going to see potentially volumes move weaker over the next 2 weeks, maybe 22,000, 23,000, maybe 20,000, depending on how long the strike goes and how it expands. That's meaningful, right? That's 20% below where we are presently. But it's going to take time to get there. It's going to take an extended strike to get to those levels. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of public traction. There doesn't seem to be a lot of momentum toward a settlement. So we will keep our eye on motor vehicles and equipment loadings as we go forward for the full year, because it certainly could cause full year estimates to come down based on how things settle out, how long it takes to get to a contract in the automotive sector. And with that, I'll wrap up this week. Intermodal continues to maintain its post-Labor Day bounce. We'll see how long that continues. It's it can be called a little bit of a peak season, but certainly still historically not nearly the magnitude that you would expect to see from a true peak season, we'll call it. On the carload side, you continue to see strength, and importantly, from economically sensitive freight volumes. That's really important to the entire industry, that continue. And we will keep our eye on that as we go forward to ensure that it does, to see that the railroads are delivering the kind of service that shippers want to bring volumes back to the railroad, that you see economic demand for those goods to move by rail. We will keep our eye on that as we go forward. And with that, I want to thank you all for listening this week. Hopefully you have a great week. Hopefully you get some time to watch some baseball playoffs this weekend or some football. Get some time to relax over the weekend. Thank you for listening. If you always have a question about what you hear on the podcast, what you see in your business, feel free to reach out. We love to talk about transportation. It literally is one of the reasons why we get up in the morning. So never hesitate to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team. And with that, I'm going to sign off for this week. I am your host of the Rail Market Update Podcast, Todd Trinowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight Podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.